I know it's a pain in the arse,
Howell Churman growled, standing with his hands clasped behind him while he gazed out his office window at a vista of cloudy rain.
And truth to tell, what I'd really like to be doing is shooting the bastards the instant they turn up.
Brigadier Joel Johnston, commanding officer of the Imperial Carisian Marines 3rd Brigade, looked at his superior's back with a faint smile. It was mostly a smile of affection, although it might have held just a trace of amusement, and possibly just a little exasperation. If it did, though, that last emotion was directed at the situation, not at Viceroy General Churman.
And if the old man needs to vent his spleen at someone, I suppose I'm the logical candidate, Johnston reflected. It's not like there's anyone else he can let down his guard with.
That would probably have been true with just about any senior officer in Churman's unenviable position, the brigadier thought. Combining the roles of Occupation Force Commander and Official Viceroy for Emperor Caleb and Empress Charlian would have been a stiff enough challenge for almost anyone. Given Churman's distaste for politics, coupled with his previous lifelong success at avoiding anything that even smacked of duty at court, it would have been difficult to find someone who felt less suited to the task. Fortunately for the Empire of Karis, it had never occurred to Howell Churman to decline his present post. And the reason that was fortunate was that no matter how ill-suited he might have considered himself, he was almost certainly the very best man available for the job. The Viceroy General might not like politics, and he might be unpolished, to say the very least, by courtly standards. But that didn't mean he didn't understand politics, and his iron sense of duty and integrity was coupled with a bulldog pugnacity any fool could sense from clear across a room. There was no doubt that the noblemen and commoners who'd assembled in Parliament here in Manchir had sensed it, at any rate, and none of them had been stupid enough to challenge him. Not openly, at any rate. Johnston had no doubt that quite a few conversations in various cloakrooms and private apartments had centered on clandestine ways to evade Churman's determination to enforce the policies Emperor Caleb had laid out before his own departure for Chisholm. For the moment, though, the Viceroy General had his hand firmly around the throat of Coruscant's great knights. That had been made easier by the fact that, like the wealthier members of the House of Commons, the great aristocrats had too much to lose. That made them cautious, unwilling to attempt open resistance, especially after Churman, in his blunt, unpolished, uncourtly, yet crystal-clear style, had made it abundantly plain what he intended to do to any noble who violated his new oath of fealty to the Carisian crown. The fact that diplomatic circumlocution was so utterly foreign to him had gone a great way towards making certain no one in his audience doubted for a moment that he'd meant every word he said, and that any excuses about oaths to the excommunicated not being binding would leave him remarkably unmoved when he and his siege artillery turned up outside any oathbreaker's castle walls.
But pain in the arse or not, Churman continued now, swinging away from the window to face the brigadier, hands still clasped behind him. It's the way it's got to be, for now at least, he grimaced. Mind you, I'd like nothing better than to get my hands on the damned ringleaders. There's not much doubt in my mind that most of these poor bastards are being more or less led around by the nose.
He made a disgusted sound midway between a snort and a snarl.
And I've read the damned broadside, same as you. Somebody's stirring this pot, and I've no doubt His Majesty was right about what it is they're after. Which is why I'm not going to give it to them.
Yes, sir, Johnston acknowledged.
Although, truth to tell, it wasn't exactly as if he'd objected to the Viceroy General's instructions or policy. On the other hand, he was pretty sure Churman knew he understood his superior's explanation was more in the nature of a way for Cherman to let off pressure of his own before it did him a mischief.
"The last thing we need to offer up to the bastards behind all this are martyrs,"
Cherman growled now, turning his head to look back at the water-streaming panes of glass.
"I think most of these people are at least willing to keep their heads down, if the troublemakers will just leave them alone. I'm not saying we could keep the lid on the pot forever, but all we really have to do is keep it screwed down until Anvil Rock, Tartarian, and the rest of the Regency Council get their feet on the ground. Build up at least a little legitimacy. That business at the cathedral the other day."
He turned his head back, his eyes meeting Johnston's suddenly.
"That could have turned nasty. Bad enough to lose one of our own. But if that young lad of yours, Lieutenant Tallis, wasn't it?"
He paused until Johnston nodded, then snorted again.
"If the boy had lost control, let his men stack the bodies the way I've no doubt they wanted to, instead of settling for cracked skulls and a few broken bones, it would have given the bastards on the other side exactly what they wanted."
"I've already commended Lieutenant Tallis, sir,"
Johnston said, making no effort to hide how pleased he'd been by the Viceroy General's remembering the young man's name.
"And I agree with what you just said. All the same, sir, if they keep pushing, and especially if we lose more men, we're going to have to push back. It's one thing to show restraint. It's another thing if the other side decides restraint is really weakness."
"Agreed,"
Cherman nodded grimly.
"That's one reason I want Garvai's formation stood up as quickly as possible. I'd rather put a Coruscandian face on this whole confrontation. Drop us back into a support role."
He showed his teeth in a thin smile.
"Do you suppose any of these people are going to realize just how much we don't want to kill any more of them than we can help?"
"In a perfect world, sir, I'm sure they would. In the world we've got..."
The Brigadier shrugged, and Cherman chuckled harshly. Then he squared his shoulders and marched back across to his desk. He settled into the chair behind it and picked up the first of the folders piled on his blotter.
"Well, as you've just suggested, it's an imperfect world, Brigadier," he observed. "And that being the case, I suppose it's time we dealt with some of those imperfect little details, starting with this request from Brigadier Miles."
He tapped the top sheet of paper and the folder with an index finger.
"I think he's got a point about being spread too thin."
"I agree, sir,"
Johnston grimaced.
"That's not to say I like it, but I agree he's got a problem. And unfortunately, I can already see where you're thinking about finding the manpower to solve it for him."
"Sharp as a tack, that's you,"
Cherman said, with another, much more cheerful-sounding chuckle.
"Now, where do you think I should start robbing you?"
"Well, sir, I was thinking that if we took Alpha Company out of 2nd Battalion of the 3rd, then took Charlie Company out of 1st Battalion of 4th, we'd have a pretty good mix of experience and enthusiasm. Then, if we added..."